Blog Talk Radio.
Entertainment Reports. I hope those of you that are celebrating, I hope you all have been having a blast of a good time. I love Halloween too. So, well, the tree part, not the tricking part and the scary part. thank you again for tuning in to Matters of the Heart Wednesday, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, aka Be True, and thank you. Today, of course, we're talking about Halloween and the question that I posted on my Facebook page on Sunday was, who do you think it has have the hardest remaining faithful within exclusive relationships, romances, or committed marriages, men or women? You know, some of my favorite shows are, a couple of my favorite shows are Cheaters. And you see, to me, it looks equally. Men and women get accused and get caught red-handed on Cheaters for cheating. And then sometimes they feel like they've been, oh, they're doing it for fun. Sometimes they feel neglected, or sometimes they just feel hot for somebody else, and et cetera, other reasons. And then on divorce court, it's always a topic. He or she cheated on me. I was watching divorce court last week, and a woman cheated with a former boyfriend on the day that she married her husband at the Justice of the Peace. I know. Wow. And, you know, it's always on our lips. We you know, in our personal lives, if not from my own personal experience, it's always talk when we know of someone or we know someone is cheating. And also, like I mentioned, our favorite celebrities, like what Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson just experienced. And, you know, they're back together. And it's just a hot topic, and it's a serious topic also. Thank you to Ebony Empress. Had a blast chatting with she and her friends during the live broadcast of her show yesterday evening, live straight from the UK. Maybe she'll call us this morning. It would be great if she did. And she talked about, you know, really like saving yourself from being in a relationship with a reckless partner. And wow, did her co-host and her guests that call in have a lot to say. And we kept that chat room on fire. But before we go any far, still sending prayers out to our listeners and loved ones in the Northeast and on the East Coast. Oh my God. Wow. Just sending hugs and prayers to you all. Praying for your power to come on. Sending condolences to those of you who have lost loved ones and the families of those. And remember, you all take care of those pets also. Animals, I saw rescued people that had their pets also. It's picking up anything. They picked up their cherished furry family members. And I hope you all get your power back and keep us updated, please. Call into the show, those of you that can, you know, talk with us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and et cetera. You know, keep all of us updated because, you know, I know when we're going through bad weather, what's normal down here, tornadoes and bad rain, I always hear from my friends outside of this area. But I know it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You all pray. Follow instructions from your local authorities, state authorities, from the president. Follow instructions. That's what's important. You know, do your best to keep you and your family and loved ones safe, which I see many of you are doing. I always talk about, I have many listeners on the show. I mentioned earlier this week how I'm realizing that a lot of my friends listen to the show who are in New York. I'm talking about friends that are from Mississippi. And I'm sure they're trying to tell you, my friends that are natives of the Deep South are doing their best also to comfort others. But you know what? I have lived in this area where, well, many of us, well, you can hear the story from all of us down here. I've lived in this hurricane, tornado lifestyle since I was born. And it's always scary. You know, really, it's always scary because you don't know what's going to happen, what kind of storm it will be. You just don't know. Beautiful, beautiful weather, beautiful down here. But when tornadoes and hurricanes and tropical storms happen, we don't know. Now, when we have bad icy weather and snowy weather, then we're in a position where, oh, my God, we're not used to this. You know, I mean, just from a little sleet, we will close down. Shut down our cities and towns just from a little sleep because we don't know how to deal with that. And so my prayers are definitely with you all in the midst of this. And then it made history such a large storm. And so you all be strong. We're praying for you and keep us informed. And Thankfully, a lot of the states, my state including Mississippi, and many other states are helping you all out. Because one thing authorities mentioned on television last night on local news, that during Katrina and during other devastations, like last year's, during last year's tornadoes, many from all over the country did not waste any time to come to our aid down here. Hey, it's Halloween, and wow. Those of you that are Facebook friends of mine or Twitter friends of mine, I want to see your costumes and so on. Kelly and Michael said they would be airing today also, but I seen on Twitter yesterday that they had announced that they would be airing today, but people don't have to wear costumes. I'm just wondering if they would be in costume, though. And then I heard that Heidi Klum, who every year has an awesome Halloween party, she canceled her Halloween party. You know, she and her former husband, Phil, you know, they're known to be to go way out in costume. And this year, Heidi was planning to attend her Halloween party as Cleopatra. But because of all the devastation, of course, she has canceled that event. But I know many of you, I'm going to go ahead and talk about this, because this is an email that I received the other day. And I know many of you that are celebrating at your offices are celebrating with your peers or coworkers. These are some tips from U.S. News in the money section. And, you know, five do's and don'ts for celebrating Halloween in the office. And this article was published on Monday by Jackie Barrett Poindexter. And the five do's and don'ts, it reads, Halloween is right around the corner, and you might be gearing up to dress in costume at work. Take advantage of some fun festivities, or perhaps even ask your boss to leave early to take your kids out trick-or-treating. Whatever the scariest day of the year has in store for you during the workday, here are five things you can do to enjoy your day at work, along with five things you should avoid. And the top five do's are, number one, dress up. If donning a Halloween costume is encouraged, show team spirit and get into character. Compliment your personality while also respecting the company's culture and human resources policies. Stumped as to what to wear, consider a classic. According, because I know some of you are doing some last minute, oh, my God, I didn't know we were going to have a Halloween event. Oh, my God, you know, I need to do something. So according to Glassdoor's Halloween survey, 2 out of 5 employees, 42%, said they would likely dress as a ghost, a witch, or pirate. I like vampire, you know, while 20% would dress like their favorite movie characters, such as Katniss from The Hunger Games, to work. The remaining results indicated office-themed costumes, example, pink slip, the balls, a three-hole punch, and pop culture premise costumes, like a pregnant Snooki as go-to choices. Two, remove your boss's mask. Do you lead a team or an entire department? If so, nearly 1 in 3, that's 29% of your employees, will want you to participate in dressing up, according to Glassdoor survey. Instead of sitting stoically in your office as the pirates walk the plank, the ghosts get spooky and the witches cast the spells, replace your boss's mask with something a little more whimsical. Enjoy the day by playing along with the team. You might just earn a few points. But being not down to earth and showing humility with this behavior. 3, get cooking. While theatrical attire sounds whimsical and fun, food actually trumped costumes among what employees want most at work this Halloween. According to the survey, 70% of employees said they would most enjoy a Halloween breakfast, lunch, or free candy treats at work. Whether you're a frontline receptionist or someone steeped in analysis in a secluded back office, you may consider fetching a bag of Snicker bars or baking a couple dozen spider cupcakes to share with your coworkers, or for the ambitious, rally your teammates and cook up a Halloween breakfast for lunch event or shed culinary bright light on otherwise typical or bland workday. See, some of you are thinking now, yeah, good idea. Let's do a Halloween breakfast or a Halloween brunch or lunch at work. You know, it's not too late. Some of you on your way to work can go ahead and pick up some items or, call, you know, rally together and say, hey, let's do this. 4, ask early. If you hope to exit early on Halloween to take your little ones trick-or-treating, ask permission ahead of time. Offer your boss the courtesy of advance notice that you would like to be home before dark so that you can attend to the holiday ritual. Offer to arrive early or stay late that day or a different day to make it a win-win request. Enjoy the day, even if your Halloween work schedule slammed with deadlines and customer commitments. Take 5 minutes to share in some candy, corn, and conversation that revolves around the spirit of the day. Or your job is your number one priority. It's also okay to enjoy the holiday. You might even discover that added fun is the energy boost you needed to get through that tough project. Okay, now the top five don'ts. Number one, dress inappropriately. A sexy powered rich may sound like the costume du jour. However, the next day you may find yourself regretting the low-cut blouse and short skirt that left you feeling exposed and made your colleagues blush. As well, if you are uncertain of your company's costume parameters, check with human resources. Exactly. They may have guidelines to help tame your creative side to fit within the proper confines of a business climate. Glassdoor survey shows that most 51% employees say that if a coworker wears an inappropriate Halloween costume to work, the best thing HR can do is to ask him to change. So remember, fun but appropriate. Fun but appropriate. And two, assume. It's a slippery slope assuming you would be checking out early to take the kiddos trick-or-treating, leaving your child's colleagues to hold the fort. As mentioned above, you should ask your boss's permission in advance. In addition, consider extending courtesies and adding communications to your kid-free teammates early in the week to ensure they don't feel they're left holding the work bag while you gallivant into the holiday evening. Three, bring games to work. According to Glassdoor survey, only 6% of employees would enjoy bobbing for apples or other games. Since most employees just aren't into this, they get it. Remember, food trumps Halloween themed games when it comes to celebrating at work. So remember that. And again, this is coming from U.S. News and on the career section. Okay, and number four, ditch your work. While it's easy to get swept up in the festivities of a holiday, remember that you are being paid to be there and don't shirk your duties. Customer expecting a delivery, get it done. Client calls urgent inquiry, answering the phone with a mouthful of candy and a casual attitude may offend. Have fun, but maintain your professional decorum. And five, be a Scrooge. While we often associate Scrooge with we're on holidays, you could also be paid one this Halloween if you walk around with a resentful attitude. Remember, Def Shepherd and I, he brought out the importance of having a good attitude when he called in yesterday when we were talking about to share financial advice, when we were talking about job seeking seasonal work, and also when he shared advice, financial advice he said good attitude when it comes to work. And it's so important to have a good attitude, period. Again, visit Depp Shepherd at deppshepherd.com. I love his website. Sign up for his monthly newsletter. Amazing website. Number five, be Scrooge. While we often associate Scrooge with your winter holidays, you could also be paid one this Halloween if you walk around with a resentful attitude and a bah humbug spirit while your colleagues whoop it up. So it isn't necessary to be someone you're not. It is probably in your best interest to join in some of the festivities versus taking an aloof or dismissive approach to lighthearted holiday fun. Who knows, you may even enjoy yourself. Jackie Barrett Poindexter is a Glassdoor career and workplace expert, chief career writer and partner with Career Trend, and is one of only 28 master resume writers. Globally, MRW, Jackie and her husband, Sailor Rob, host a lively careers-focused blog at CareerTrendNet blog. Jackie is a power Twitter user, value into words, listed on several best people to follow lists for job seekers. So value into words is how you can tweet the person. So this that's awesome, really, 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 really is. Really awesome. So those are some do's and don'ts for today. And some of you that didn't have anything planned, hey, go ahead and have some fun with your at the office and with your cohorts and peers by having a Halloween breakfast or brunch or lunch. But, you know, it's good to do things during a not-so-busy time of the day, like, you know, still maintain that professionalism, which is so important. So that this is what I was talking about when I mentioned to you I wanted to share some do's and don'ts that I had received, and pretty good do's and don'ts, I must say, right? So, again, I thank you so much for tuning in to Matters of the Heart. And I was not looking at my screen. And I have that posted also on my Facebook page, my Mark Business Facebook page. Also, and I think it's tweeted out also. And those of you that love, you know, Mark and beauty and fashion tame, and you're looking for awesome holiday gifts, bring me at my Mark page also, where we talk the show, we talk fashion tame, and also, but primarily it's for the Mark business, but awesome beauty, fashion, and fashion taming and sports stories and entertainment lifestyle stories on that page also. So you can subscribe to my other page, the one that is located within my information on my profile here at blogtalkradio.com also. So let me head on to the switchboard because we might have callers, and it might be some of you in the chat room having a morning Halloween party, but I knew that it was of utmost importance to get that do's and don't info out to you. So who do you think have it hardest, men or women, when it comes to remaining faithful and not becoming a cheater, you know? I've never considered myself a cheater. I've never cheated on anybody. Not saying I won't, but I will hope not. I don't see myself cheating on anyone when I get into a healthy, committed relationship. Let's see. No one's calling, but I know there are people in the chat room. No one's calling to comment. You can always call to listen in at 714-409-0614. You can call in to comment. You can call in to just listen. But when you want to make a comment, always press 1, because that will signify to me that you would like to make a comment or ask a question or make your point. Okay? Positivity is always encouraged also. So thank you. And I'm loving your support. Yesterday when I was broadcasting, a Blog Talk Radio provides us our stats. And when I got off air, my stats for that week, and that was yesterday morning, was 1190 listens. And right now, the views on the profile are like close to 110,000. It's not like just yesterday when we were celebrating 100,000 views, and the live listens are just amazing. And I just recently just really started paying attention to the breaking down of the different ways that you all listen. Some of you listen from your smartphones and your iPhones, and it's just amazing. So thank you so much for your support, really. Just ever be sure. Me safe and warm.
Hold your waist, so as we climb.
Business Worldwide. Thank you. Appreciate you. Those 3 days. I just so. It is 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning where I am, Central Standard Time in the Deep South, Mississippi. And, of course, it's October 31st, Halloween. So who's watching scary movies tonight? recommended for listeners of the mature age of 18 or older due to adult topics based on matters of the heart, such as dating, love or lack of, marriage, sex, etc. That is what Matters of the Heart Wednesday is all about. So it's recommended for the mature of age because of subject matters can get kind of naughty. In other words, in other days that shows are rated mature is because of, you know, the lyrical content. I love to support mainstream and underground and indie artists like myself, and we, you know, we tend to express ourselves. And so that's why other shows are rated pretty much for the mature audience because of the lyrical content. And, you know, some of you might find some of the lyrical content offensive are not, and it's important to warn you ahead of time. But most shows are for everyone. But on Wednesdays, you know, for the mature of age 18 and over. Today, the question is, I asked this on Sunday evening via my Facebook page, whom has it the hardest to remain faithful within an exclusive romance or committed marriage, men or women? And in between, you know. By the popularity of shows such as Cheaters and DivorceCourt.com and many others, plus cheating is always a popular topic and something that many of us experience, sadly, in the publications. Well, not so always, sadly, huh? In publications and throughout the media, not to mention everyday conversations and experiences for many. Because one thing about it, I can't wait to hear Leanne Ryan's new music. Leanne Ryan and her husband, who I'm a fan of also, you know, they both were in what appeared to be happy marriages, and they worked together on this film project and became in awe of each other and started cheating. And, but, you know, they're not ever married to one another. So it's just a different ways to look at this. Yeah, you know, but then also I often see his ex on shows, and she's a housewife now, right? She talks about that experience in detail on a lot of the shows regarding how she found out and so on. But, you know, that's one celebrity story that we're all familiar with, you know. And then there's the Christian and the Rob Patterson where she cheated, but, you know, they reconcile. So it's just, but when we're watching Cheaters now, wow, it's very, 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 very emotional. Here's Larry Graham featuring Prince. I love this song so much. Happy birthday. Sober, dry.
have told you just how much I love your smile. I could have given you mine in return, but that was not my style. I should have told you just how much I love your kiss. I should have told you. Now I'm sitting here just reminiscing. As you go away, I'm sitting here kicking my own bell. I should have told you. Now I'm sitting in my backyard just so. I was just acting way too hard. Could I have you, baby? Barefoot and pregnant, four kids in our backyard, but you went away. Wait just 1 minute. Is that the doorbell? I hear it. Please tell me you've come back home. This song I won't have to be singing.
Should I, I would have done better. I known you were gonna leave. I'd never let you. Now I'm writing you this letter. Should have, could have, if I knew back then what I know right now.
Could have, would have, should have done better. Larry Graham and Prince. I got to get Larry Graham on the show for real because I literally grew up on his music. I'm 44. In the 70s, my sister, she loved to play and rock her some Ram Central Station. We used to live in a community called the Georgetown Community in the middle of Jackson, and we lived like right close to one of the busiest streets, which is now Martin Luther King Boulevard, and we would be just having a blast, like special Saturday mornings, cleaning the house and doing different things, and she would be just rocking like Ohio Players and Grand Central Station. And then that's how I learned a lot about Prince, when Prince first came out, his first single. And I'm like, oh my God, I was like, love it. You know, because, you know, my goodness, I've always loved blues, rock and roll, and funky music, and country music too, which you all see. But that Larry Graham and Prince right there, that is so amazing. It hits the lick. And what's up to my friends in the chat room? Because we're rocking and rolling on Halloween this day. And again, sending much love and prayers to the listeners and friends on the East and Northeast, in the Northeast also. Man, praying for everything to get back to normal, like in the quickness for you all. But again, we're talking, who has it hardest, guys or chicks, when it comes to staying faithful within a committed marriage? And are a an exclusive relationship for a man. So you think he has it hard, you know, really. I mean, I'm talking from a person who's really naturally a monogamous person, but, you know, there are people that cheat, and we see it every day. And also, we're talking other things, whatever's on your mind and your heart regarding Halloween and just matters of the heart. And what are some fun romantic Halloween ideas and just holiday ideas, period, because Thanksgiving is only a few weeks away, and we have Christmas knocking on the door, and 2013 is just saying, okay, ready or not, I'm here. So there's so much going on. So what are some romantic holiday things to do for those of us that are solo like I, and you happy, happy couples also? What are some fun things to do out there, you know? Wow. I was watching Wendy Williams yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And the lady asked Wendy, you know, she told her that, oh, my husband likes to dress up for work, but when it's time for date night and time for us to spend quality time together, you know, date night and stuff like that, he usually wears his T-shirt and jeans. And she asked Wendy how she could motivate him to dress up a little bit more. And then Wendy said, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year, you know, so make sure you have his sizes and everything accurate, and go out and purchase him items, and then suggest he wear certain items. You know, and Wendy called it molding the mind. So you gotta love how you doing. For real. If today is your birthday, happy birthday. I know a childhood friend of mine, teenage friend of mine, which I keep in touch with her family, especially with her sister, they lost their dad earlier this year. You all heard me talk about Coach Wade. But today is my friend Tanya Wade's birthday, and I believe she's in the ATL area. And her sister Yolanda, I think that's the last place that Tanya's been. So happy birthday to Tanya, because we used to make a big thing about it when we were teenagers, when it was her birthday. It's your birthday and it's Halloween. And I have many other friends, too, if I can think of a birthday is today. And there are a couple people, couple that I know who celebrate anniversaries on this day, too. So if today is your anniversary, happy anniversary. I assume there would be some people getting married tonight also. So happy anniversary. And those of you that choose to get married on Halloween, congratulations on your nuptials also. Celebrities that are celebrating birthdays today are the young lady from Coyote Ugly. What was her name? Piper Parabo from Covert Affairs. She's 36 today. Michael Collins, astronaut, is 82. Dan Rather, I love Mr. Dan Rather, broadcast journalist, 81. Ron Rifkin, actor, Alias, 73. Sally Kirkland, actress, 71. David Ogden Stiers, actor, MASH, is 70. Brian Doyle Murrah, actor, 67. Jane Pauley, broadcast journalist, 62. Peter Jackson, director of The Lord of the Rings, is 51. Larry Mullen, rock musician, U2, 51. Dermot Mulroney, oh, he's a cool guy, actor, 49. Rob Snyder, actor, comedian from Saturday Night Live, 48. Rob Van Winkle, Vanilla Ice, what's up, Vanilla? Ice, Ice, baby. Do you know, oh, no, Vanilla Ice, I loved his appearance recently on The View. Did you all know, what showcase, you all know that he signed his record label deal here in Jackson, Mississippi? I was there, I know. In 1991, Ice, Ice, Baby was hot as I don't know what. I remember in that video, the video box, or the box interactive, you know, video channel was active on television, that his video was like number one all weekend. There was a DJ here who loved him, for Vanilla Ice. He promoted him like crazy. We had a Vanilla Ice weekend here in Jackson, Mississippi, at the Mississippi Ag Museum on Lakeland Drive. Paul Peterson, formerly of the family, which the family is back together with a new name, was going to be the headliner. I remember also a lot the co-headliner. He canceled for some reason. But still, Vanilla Ice, it was all Vanilla Ice thing that weekend, and it was an awesome showcase. And that is where Vanilla Ice got his record deal with, that record label was on the tip of my tongue. But they loved him, loved him, loved him. And that's when I really was going back and forth to Dallas. You know, he also, he talks about being from Florida, but you know he's also, he used to go back and forth from Florida to Dallas. And I know, like, maybe a few days later, I was in Dallas, and I've seen the guys that dance with him was working at one of the stores in the Galleria of Valley View Mall. But happy birthday to Vanilla Ice. You know, he's a do-it-yourselfer, doing big things with his reality show and stuff. So happy 44th birthday to Ice Baby. Still got it going on, too. Because if you missed him on The View, try to check it out because he did like a Zumba remix of the song. It was so awesome. Fred McGriff, baseball player, he's 44. Actor Brian Stokes Mitchell turns 55 today also. So those are celebrity birthdays. Also, and all my Facebook friends, online friends, and so on, to happy birthday. And also today in history, Martin in 1517, Martin Luther posted 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Palace Church, marking the start of the Reformation in Germany. 1795, poet John Keats was born in London. Nevada became the, Nevada. What do you say, Nevada, Nevada? I say both. Nevada became the 36th state in 1864. Oh, 1926, musician Harry Houdini died of complications from a ruptured appendix. Shout out to Chris Angel. 1938, the day after his War of the Worlds broadcast, panic radio listeners. I know Chris Angel's having a blast today. Had panicked radio listeners. Corson Wells expressed deep regret, but also bewilderment that anyone had thought the show was real. 1968, President Lyndon B. Johnson ordered a halt to all U.S. bombing of North Vietnam, saying he hoped for a fruitful, peaceful negotiation. 1984, Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi was assassinated near her residence by two Sikh security guards. 1992, it was announced that five American nuns in Liberia had been shot to death near the capital, Monrovia. The killings were blamed on rebels loyal to Charles Taylor. In 1999, Egyptian Air Flight 990 crashed off the Massachusetts coast, killing all 217 people aboard. Ooh, I remember that. 2005, President George W. Bush nominated Judge Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court. In 2006, P.W. Botha, South Africa's apartheid-era president, died at age 90. So those are things that happened in history, courtesy of AP Press and the DallasNews.com newsletters. So, again, who has the hardest? I'll share some statistics or some information with you after this. to be love. Like his page, the Mars Mills Experience, and tweet him also. Hey, thank you. Shout out. I see you, darling Nikki and Andrea Fontana, one of my favorite male BFF Facebook friends in Italy. Much love to Italy. And also, what's up to Larry Bass, my longtime friend, one of Jackson's premier, the best of the best photographers in Jacktown, Larry Bass, La Bass Photography. Check him out. Friend him on Facebook. Check out his work if you've never experienced a photo shoot. And matter of fact, it's time for, I'm past due of a photo shoot. Which you all see, I need some pictures. But a shout out to Larry Bass also. I believe he's listening to the show. And happy Halloween to you and yours and all your clients. And also to many other friends who have signified my friend, dear friend, long former schoolmate friend, Pedro Davis, who's also listening, I believe. Thank you for those of you that are showing me that you are thinking of me and digging the show. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much. And, wow, I don't know if I'm going to play the song in its entirety, but I just want to play a little bit of it because it's so long. Here's Moments in Love, Art of Knowing. We'll be right back. Such an awesome song. You don't even, the 8 minutes go by so fast, huh? I thought I was going to cut it short, but hey, so awesome. I know you all love it also. Hey, remember to visit our friend who's a regular guest on the show, Belinda Bostic's website, Slumber Parties by Belinda Bostic. She has a lot of awesome gift ideas for you in regards to you can buy gifts for not only yourself and your boo and your honey, but also for your girlfriends and mom and grandmom and et cetera. So visit her website, Slumber Parties. I know I can touch that. Slumber Parties by BelindaBostic.com, and you will not regret it because there are some awesome items there. From body care to naughty care, for real. So, you know, she's a regular here, and she doesn't hold back on promoting the popular items and the new items like the Harley and the lingerie that you can find at some important about BelindaBostic.com. I know I get giddy when I start thinking about the things that we talk about. And I just want to say, if she's listening to the show, I want to send she and her kids and her hubby happy Halloween wishes also. So I've just posted the current newsletter that she sent out yesterday on my Facebook page. And I think I Googled and tweeted it out last night also. But you can visit the website and sign up to receive her newsletters also, so you can be in the know of what's going on. Again, you can you might want to host a party or become a rep or just get your holiday gifts for your loved ones and especially for oneself, right? I know Election Day is not far away. And I believe Mitt Romney's place of location, election night, would be in Boston. And here locally, I received an email from the Mississippi GOP, Mississippi Republican Party. Roger Wicker will be celebrating here in Jackson. Because I'm not looking at the email right now. So Roger Wicker will be celebrating right here in Jackson, around the corner from the Republican Party's headquarters at the Old Capitol Inn, which is next to the Eudora Welcome Library on North State Street, downtown Jackson. That's where he will be celebrating at the Old Capitol Inn on Tuesday night. And then I have other more information also regarding locations where other politicians that are campaigning within the state are also. So also my Democrat friends, you can also provide me with your information because I, an independent friend, I will share it with the listeners and the community because we need to be well informed of what's going on. But one thing I know that's been going on the mind of all of us, and including the President Obama especially, and also former Governor of Massachusetts, GOP candidate Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are that everyone's safe and sending love and condolences out to those that have lost life or lost to family members and those who've lost family members and pets. It's just amazing to see how the president and the the GOP candidates have been acting and reacting, and it's just amazing. So send much love and commend them. And I know they're not doing it to be commended. They're just doing it because we're good humans, right? All of us, we care about what happens. So just want to acknowledge that and mention that. You know, it just goes back to, you know, we care and we have to be there for people when people are in need. Right? Right. Here's another one by Prince.
Tell me I got great legs to figure out why you make me bad. Does not compute. Does not compute. You think the special and so do I. Why do special women make me cry? Does not compute, sugar. Does not compute. Must be something in the water they drink. It's been the same with every girl I've had. Must be something in the water they drink. Why else would a woman wanna treat a man so badly? Some people think I'm kinda smart. Why must the brother stop at you before he starts? Do not compute, yeah, do not compute. Some people think I'm kinda cute. What's your problem? It does not compute. It do not compute. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Must be something in the water that you has been the sweetest girl I've had. Something in the water they drink. Why else would a woman want to treat a man so bad? So bad. Her name is Cassandra, and she plays like this. water to drain. It's been the same with every girl I've had. Must be something in water to drain. Why else would a woman want a tree to turn around? Why else would a woman want a tree to turn around? Why else would a woman want a tree to man? She's a man. So
this is Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000. The equivalent of a small city.
Wow. That's serious. Whenever I hear that PSA, it just makes me think, hey, I found, I've been looking at that question online in regards to who has it hardest, guys or chicks, in regards to being more faithful, being monogamous. And checking out girls as guys. They asked the question, is it harder for men to stay more faithful than women? Which is similar to my question, which is pretty much the same question almost. I have been trying to check like this question, the writer says. And this person is in their late 20s, and this was about 3 months ago. I've been trying to articulate this question for quite some time, mainly because I need to get my reason across as clear as possible. Firstly, I don't advocate cheating. I never have and never will. However, I definitely believe as a male it is a lot harder to resist temptation. I believe our nature has a lot to do with that. Females cheat, that's no secret. And this is from a male perspective. There's no question, but I think I'll be safe to say as males we do it a lot more and a lot more frequently. There are two forces at work within the male mind. Social taboo and primal instinct. Social taboo is what we have been raised to believe is right and normal. This includes finding a nice girl, falling in love, relationship, children, cheating bad, etc. Primal instincts, chase females, catch females, have sex, repeat, process. These are the two forces I believe are always at work in the male mind. On top of that, you throw in your highly developed emotional system and you a SHIT storm. As men, we play the role of chasing women, the predator, if you will. Anyway, we chase, have sex. We chase, have sex, and eventually we settle for a partner. We find an emotional attachment to. Primarily, this is where we differ from females. Naturally, their role isn't to chase, it's to be chased. So when they settle for a partner that is not something they need to contend with, the animal kingdom can tell you a lot about gender characteristics. Females don't chase. They normally mate with various male partners throughout their lifetime. Males are predators, except for the lion, because I'm a Leo the lion, and the female goes out and become the predator and hunt for the food, while the husband, the male counterpart, you know, make sure everything is cool. But the animal kingdom can tell you a lot about gender characteristics. Females don't chase. They normally mate with various male partners throughout their lifetime. Males are predators in the dating game. To try and just switch that off instant, regardless of how much you love a person, is like telling a lion. Exactly. To stop being a lion. This is why temptation for a man will always be higher and harder to override than women. There are definitely reasons why women are more likely to stay faithful. I think they are much more in tune with their emotions than men. They are under a belief that most men are after one thing, and they know the guy they have at home isn't. They don't want to receive a derogatory social status. They don't want to feel used like objects, etc., all of which, again, do not apply to men. What's totally changed the dynamics, too, is that women are now almost taking a predator approach themselves. Now they prey is no longer being chased, but in circumstances willing to do the chasing. Whether this has coincided with women generally becoming more empowered is another debate, but no one can deny this isn't happening. So my main point throughout this waffle of that, women are meant to settle, as in that's their nature. It's also what society has deemed right or normal. Men aren't meant to settle. That's not our nature. But we do because, again, what we've been told is correct. Our emotions play key points naturally, but you have to wonder if we were uncivilized, living basic, no rules, pretty much animals, exactly what our emotions act. And this is and then he writes at the end, obviously this is generalization piece. It won't apply for all 8 billion people on Earth. And then he gets the opinions from those that he networked with, and some are disagreeing with his views. But it is just something that I run across in the question on my Facebook page and the question of this morning's show, who has it hardest? Men are ladies and in between. And even in us, same-sex couples, who have it hardest? Because, you know, I have friends who are in same-sex relationships, and sometimes they're monogamous and sometimes they're not. But I guess in some cases that's a different culture also. But some people, I have had friends throughout my lifetime who, you know, they're highly hurt. Because if you have not agreed on a open relationship or open marriage, then it's kind of hurtful. People expect you to be, you know, monogamous to them. So I find that quite, who has it hardest, resisting temptation. Yeah, you would think men, but like I said again, from watching some of my favorite shows, it looks like it's like neck and neck sometimes. Like when I'm watching Cheaters, which I love, and so on. Wow. Okay. And then I'm seeing a lot of other questions, like why is it so difficult for men to be faithful to women? But on the second hand, there are some women who have it very difficult also, being monogamous or being faithful or staying away from certain people. And here's something, how to stay faithful to your long-term partner. Some people don't stay faithful to remain in a short-term relationship. I'm talking about long-term. Well, it goes back to what Belinda and I talked about also. It's important to keep that spark and keep that flame going within your relationships. And this is something I share that I've run across. How to, wait a second. Okay, this is about how to stay faithful to your partner. And it says, it's headline, how to make love to your partner forever and really enjoy it. So they're saying that you're most likely reading this because you want to stay faithful to your long-term partner, or perhaps because you're tempted by the thought of sex outside of your relationship. Maybe you're simply like some helpful, staying faithful or want to know how to keep the sex as good as it always been. We all suffer from sexual boredom at times, and many of us have less sex in a committed relationship than we did before we settled down to monogamy. But why? What stops us having sex in our relationships, the place where you expect to be the easiest to actually have sex whenever we want it? And just how do you stay faithful to one partner for the whole of your life? And then it goes on, and this it goes on to read, first and foremost, sex tends to stop in a relationship because it cannot constantly be spontaneous. The excitement of the early days when a couple first meets gives a force to sexual desire, which is often dulled by living in close proximity for any length of time. While sex may be very rewarding, it is easy to avoid engaging in sexual activity with your partner if you are not feeling a sense of high desire or spontaneous sexual excitement. In such cases, a conscious decision to initiate sex is always harder than falling into a spontaneous bout of lovemaking propelled by high sexual desire. So let's begin by looking at some of the common reasons why people find they stop having sex in a relationship. The truth is, of course, that there are a million and one reasons why sex stops happening in a relationship. And so sex sometimes causes it's hard for people to resist being faithful if they're not having sex in their committed relationship and marriages. For one thing, in many couples, the man and woman have an unequal level of sexual desire. This need not be a problem. Difficulties can arise if the man sees sex as his entitlement or as a way to satisfy his needs without giving much more consideration to his partner's needs. His partner may feel that she has simply been used when it comes to sex and begin to resent it. When this happens, trouble lies ahead because sex may become a symbol of power, a weapon in the relationship. On her part, it serves to assert herself, to get power over her man. On his part, sex may be something that simply fulfills his biological needs, divorced from seduction or romance in the relationship, and he may get grumpy or angry if he does not get it as often as he thinks he should, and she too. Sometimes there's a she. And sadly, it's often true that men do see sex as a need which can be satisfied by a routine, mechanical bout of lovemaking once every few days. It's hardly surprising in this situation that women come to resent their partner's expectation of sex and may withhold it. Even in these days of supposed liberation, it is almost always the woman who determines the frequency of sex in the relationship. Many of us have come to believe in sexual stereotypes, which suggest that women need love, romance, and seduction to be sexual, while men need sex to make them romantic and loving. However, there is plenty of evidence that men enjoy the softer, more sensual, more romantic side of sex just as much as women do, with or without intercourse and or orgasm. The basic problem is that when couples get into polarized thinking, the emotional issues lying behind sex, such as anger, unimpressed, resentment, and fear of rejection, become so important that the very act of initiating sex can be inhibited. Then neither the man nor the woman suggests sex, and it gradually becomes less frequent. One major problem is that we fear so many sexual issues. We fear the rejection of our partner when we ask for sex. We fear not being able to perform whatever that means for you. We fear our partner would not want to have sex. Men fear the loss of their erection. Women fear not being aroused or not reaching orgasm. All of these fears and thousands more can stand in the way of a couple actually making the first step of asking for or initiating sex. And since no one in a long-term relationship could reasonably expect sex to be spontaneous all the time, if initiation does not happen, then sex will not happen either. The problem is we're reluctant to admit to ourselves that we don't initiate sex because of our fears and anxiety. Instead, we make excuses for not having sex, for not initiating sex. I'm too tired. There isn't time. We did it last week. She won't want it. I might not be able to get it up. Oh, my. I got to get up early tomorrow morning. I just don't feel in the mood, and so on and on and on. We shall examine the excuses that people offer in more detail in a moment. But there are plenty of other reasons why sex topics, why sex stops happen. And incidentally, plenty why it should not. And they go, and the article goes on to say, we have all heard of the so-called incest taboo. That is to say, a mechanism that prevents us from feeling sexual desire for those around us as we grow up. In the natural order of things, brothers and sisters do not feel sexual attraction to each other. Neither do parents towards children, at least not in a psychologically healthy family. What may be less obvious is the fact that when a couple get together and form a family unit of their own, they are to some degree recreating an environment in which the expression of sex can be inhibited. In other words, what has been termed family sex may be incompatible with sexual love, even between a consenting adult couple. An interesting example of this would be a man who becomes impotent as his wife gives birth. Something has been activated about the incest taboo between mother and son. While this may seem far-fetched, think about it for a moment. When a wife or partner becomes a mother, her behavior and attitudes change. They may change sufficiently that her partner or spouse regresses psychologically, consciously or unconsciously, to a degree that makes him less attracted to her, just as he would have felt towards his mother. Furthermore, how many of us as children really believe that our mothers and fathers had sex? The reason is very necessary for a child because it avoids a sense of exclusion from the relationship between mother and father. The child's natural narcissistic thinking cannot cope with the belief that the relationship between his or her parents could be more important than their relationship with the child. You may well remember the shock that you felt when you discovered that it was actually natural for your parents to have sex. But in the context of consenting adults and an adult relationship, you may ask, surely, there is permission to have sex, not any kind of psychological restriction on it. It's 6:57 right now. I can go over time because it's normally scheduled 5:37. And whether we like it or not, that tends to be re-invoke memories of how our mother and father were sexual, or at least how we perceive them to be sexual. Whether or not this resonates with you, there is plenty of evidence that this mechanism is indeed work. The prime example of this is the fact that so many couples experience the depth of their sex lives when they get married. There are several myths that support this change in our sexual behavior. One of them is that the ceremony of commitment, or even just moving in together, represents some kind of transition to a stage of life where sex always has to be an expression of love. Unfortunately, there are many reasons in a relationship why love is not something that can constantly be expressed during or through the mechanism of sex. These include anger, resentment, frustration, disappointment, and our needs not being met. The demands of everyday life, financial stress, loss of freedom, real or supposed, demands of the children, and so on and so on and so on. Of course, these transitions from seeing our partner, a sexual partner, to a family partner, not a little bit of a mom or a dad, or 90 more seconds before the live streaming discontinues, but what show goes on, do not have to happen. The problem is that we are psychologically primed for them to do so, and it takes effort on our part to reverse them. If you believe that you are seeing your parents and your partner and therefore not feeling sexually attracted to them, we shall offer suggestions as to how to deal with this later on. This phenomenon of projecting characteristics of your parents onto your partner is called transference and is a very predominant reason why people begin to have less sex. After all, you wouldn't have sex with your mother or father, would you? Psychological waters, like a still river, run deep. For those of us who have a conscious or unconscious belief that sex is for reproduction, for making babies, the fear of pregnancy can be a force that overcomes sexual desire, sexual excitement, and spontaneity rather quickly. Nothing can inhibit sexual desire more than the thought of an unwanted child and all that comes with it. But you may say, surely contraception has removed the danger of unwanted pregnancy. Yes, in theory, but in practice, there seem to be many couples who express guilt or fear around sex through issues with contraception. A key idea here, perhaps, is the idea that sex is for reproduction and not pleasure. Therefore, if one enjoys sex, one must feel guilty. developing a fear of pregnancy may be more acceptable route to avoiding sex than admitting that one feels guilty and about indulging oneself simply for sexual pleasure. I will be returning to the chat room, those of you in the chat room. It is also conceivable that when people complain about contraception, for example, the mess of inserting a diaphragm or the loss of erection that follows the unwrapping of the condom package, they're simply expressing sexual hang-ups or conflicts about the purpose of sex within their relationship. If you're a man who has had problems with loss of erection when he puts on a condom, or a woman who has experienced the mess of spermicidal gel in the middle of foreplay, you might find it difficult to believe in the proposition that the real issue you're dealing with is about the purpose of sex. But consider that you can put in a diaphragm in several hours before sex, or that putting on a condom to erect penis can be sexual arousing and exciting act, and then ask yourself why contraception has become a big deal for you rather than an exciting part of foreplay or a simple test to be done some hours before you make love. I mentioned on Facebook the other day that one of my biggest sentences to dropping the pounds, dropping my BMI, getting back into shape is the incentive of awesome love. And yes, I do not have a significant other right now, but I see on 2013 that it's a possibility I could, Cupid could hit me and I could and hit someone else and we could have a successful romance. I don't know. Do I? I might know, but I don't know, honestly, because right now, I'm not ready. But you guys definitely keep me educated and informed and experience as a mother. But back to this article. One of the most pernicious reasons why sex slows down is the myth that sex becomes less frequent as a couple grow older. Yet the main reason why men and women around middle age have less sex is that they believe middle-aged people have less sex. The reality is that when a woman goes through the menopause, she has the freedom to enjoy sex without worrying about pregnancy or contraception. She has the maturity to know her body well and reach orgasm more easily. And if the children have left home, she probably also has the time and energy to enjoy sex more often. And for a man in middle age, it's true that his erection may be less firm or less frequent, and sexual desire can be lower. Low testosterone affects rather more men in midlife than has been generally recognized. And you all visit Belinda's website for Lumber Parties by Belinda. Visit my friend Miss Nikki Roundtree at Just Because here in Jackson. Call her, like her fan page Just Because, friend her on Facebook. They have advice and products for you. Testosterone affects rather more men in midlife than has been generally recognized. You can read about the effects of this male andropause here. Even so, these problems can be dealt with. And the reality is that only reason why a couple would have less sex just because they were middle-aged is that they believe middle-aged couples have less sex. One practical benefit of age is that when a man's sexual desire decreases in middle age, the time it takes him to become fully aroused gets longer. So the length of time for which he can make love in the sense of the time between vaginal penetration and thrust into orgasm and ejaculation increases. And that sounds like a recipe for sexual happiness. What else? Well, good communication relationship is an art that takes some effort and some learning. By clear and effective communication, couples may find they become increasingly resentful over misunderstandings and issues. Mostly, of course, the outcome is suppressed anger. Ask yourself if you feel angry towards your partner. You may not even know, because we are good at disguising our emotions from ourselves. So ask yourself what your emotions you feel towards your partner. And if you still believe you do not know, ask yourself this. If you did know, what emotions would they be? If the answer to that question is anger, then it is almost certain that your partner also has some unexpressed anger towards you. And nothing gets in the way of sex more than anger. And yet discharging anger in a clean way does not cause further damage. Is a skill that can be learned, and a skill which few couples have. More on this later. There is a myth about a good argument. Fighting clears the air and is often followed by great sex. Yes, true, couples often find fighting to be sexually stimulating. And I know the question was who has the hardest men or women, and I shared some that previous article from someone. And this right here article that I'm sharing is good for men and women in regards to, you know, fighting that urge to stray and to not be faithful. There is a myth that a good argument fighting clears the air and is often followed by great sex. It's true. Couples often find fighting to be sexually stimulating. One reason for this is that it gets rid of tension and establishes contact between a couple. And paradoxically, it also gives them more sense of self and establishes clear boundaries, or at least clear ones. But I think the main reason why fighting can lead to good sex is that it is passionate. For most relationships which have lasted more than 2 years, there's a noticeable lack of passion, although we think of passion as being most sexual. The reality is that passion is a word that can relate to many emotions in many different situations. Think about how you use the word passion. You can be passionate about your job, passionate about your interests. Passion can encompass many emotions from sexual desire through to anger. With the excitement of a passionate emotion like anger to stir us, hot sex may not be far behind. However, as we shall see, a better way to get in the mood and have good sex is to promote passionate sexual feelings, not angry feelings. And having said that, if you're in a situation where anger is troubling you and your partner, exercises which can help to discharge the anger and reestablish intimacy can be very sexually stimulating. Again, more on this later. Sometimes sex stops simply because a couple are bored and because sex has become routine, predictable, and most of all, sex is no longer exciting. If this is the pattern of your sex life, why would you wish to initiate sex? The reward would be hardly worth the effort. The solution here is to make sex more exciting, more intimate, more varied, and more interesting. Of course, much more rewarding and orgasmic. There are plenty of ways to do this, which we shall look at later. Couples with young children may find. Yesterday, also on Wendy Williams' show, a lady asked Wendy for advice, and she was like, me and my husband are in our late 40s. My husband always wants to go at it, and how could I get him to slow down? And Wendy told her to just deal with it because you don't want him to slow down. If you want to slow him down, then, you don't want him going to another woman. So she's like, just deal with it. Be glad after 15 years of marriage, you know. So that was pretty cool, Wendy, to say that. I was thinking the same thing. Couples of young children may well find children interrupting their lovemaking. Many parents would just feel tired at the end of a day looking after young children, a demanding job that saps one's energy and reduces the desire to make love. It's always, though, with the right solutions and enough imagination, you can find the time and space for a passionate and exciting sex life. It's all about shifting your thinking to a different place, a place where sex is no longer a chore, but a part of everyday life, which is fun and stimulating. Sex can become a part of life, taken like eating and drinking, something which flows naturally into the day-to-day routine, rather than being seen as something which you have to find time for and which is at the bottom of your list of priorities. One surprising finding, continue like next week. This is a lot to share with you all. I know some of you are really enjoying this. let's see. Because when I first looked at it, it didn't look like much to share, but it's good advice. I'm pausing a second because I scroll down. Wait a second. I scroll down and then okay. Couples of young children may find children interrupting their lovemaking. Many parents will feel tired at the end of the day looking after young children. A demanding job that saps one's energy and reduces the desire to make love. Always doing with the right solutions and enough imagination, you can find the time and space for passionate and exciting sex life. It's all about shifting your thinking to a different place. A place where sex is no longer a chore, but part of everyday life, which is fun and stimulating. Sex can become a part of life, like eating and drinking, something which folds naturally into the day-to-day routine, rather than being seen as something which you have to find time for, which is at the bottom of your list of priorities. Okay? Now, one surprise I'm finding, saying over and over again, is that sex diminishes in quality, excitement, and frequency after a couple settle down, get married, or have a family. The surprising explanation for this is that we may well be suffering from a biological program known as, well, I already talked about that. So, okay, maybe I am near the end. I am near the end, okay. Something happened where I had scroll back up. Okay, there we go. I am close to the end, and it scrolled back up, and I was like, wait a second. Even now, there is a pernicious belief that men have to lead and be the boss in I don't want to skip anything either. Going in more detail. I want to talk more about the hurricane. So we're going to continue this discussion next week because I want to talk more about Hurricane Sandy also. But these are just ways for people, and many of you have advice on it to avoid, you know, cheating and not being monogamous within your relationship. So we'll continue on next week discussing this topic. But I want to talk some more about the hurricane also. So I'm going back to the switchboard so we can talk more about Hurricane Sandy before the conclusion of the show because we're already over time. But that's some interesting points that are made, huh? Pausing. My television is still on the weather. Oh, my television is on Good Morning America. I was thinking it was on the Weather Channel. Shout out to Rob and Lucinda Board. They're talking Halloween. Freedom Doors Ministries. Also, All Things Human is on. Everyday Living with Rick and Veronica. Muslim Women on Healing, Sisterhood, Multicultural Ministry and its Challenges. Our own Reaching Higher, Get Real with Coach Dave Taylor. Those are a few of you're through listening to Cut the Shark Entertainment Reports that you can tune in and check out. So I'm back in the chat room. I don't know if my friends are still in the chat room because I had left the screen because it was taking a while for my information to come up on my MyTouch T-Mobile. And you know T-Mobile is merging with another company, Metro PCS. So we'll be talking about that on tomorrow and continue talking about preparing for the holidays in respect of business and personal angles. And continue counting down. So if you haven't already, be sure to visit Christmas.OrganizedHome for preparations of how to really prepare for the holiday season and release some of that stress.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. He weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His brain wasn't ready. At the hospital, the nurses said Daniel was a fighter, and they would do all they could to help him. The doctor said even with the best care, Daniel may never walk. He may never see. He may never learn. Daniel's parents spent night after night at the hospital, watching his every breath, holding his tiny hands, and looking for signs that he was growing stronger. At home, his parents looked around Daniel's empty nursery, at the quiet toys and the still rocker, and they hoped that one day they could sit in that rocking chair and tell this story to their very healthy son. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year, but there's hope for a happy ending. The March of Dimes is funding the research and programs to stop premature birth. You can help bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Okay. Wow. After the devastation, a Danton recovery. I'll read an article in the New York Times. Did you all see the 2020 special last night? Oh, my God. And then the babies that were born during the storm. Just little miracles. So there's an article this morning in the New York Times that reads, after the devastation, a daunting recovery. The New York region began the daunting process on Tuesday of rebuilding the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, a storm that remade the landscape and rewrote the record books as it left behind a tableau of damage, destruction, and grief. This toll in lives disrupted or lost and communities washed out was staggering. A ravaging fire reduced more than 100 houses to ash in Breezy Point, Queens. Explosions and downed power lines left the lower part of Manhattan and 90% of Long Island in the dark. The New York City subway system, a lifeline for millions, was paralyzed by the flooded tunnels and was expected to remain silent for days. Accidents claimed more than 40 lives in the United States and Canada, including 22 in the city. Two boys, an 11-year-old Little League star and a 13-year-old friend, were killed when a 90-foot-tall tree smashed into the family room of a house in North Salem, New York. An off-duty police officer who led seven relatives, including a 15-month-old boy, to safety in the storm, drowned when he went to check on the basement. Yeah, I've seen a story about the gentleman saved all his family members, and then his body was found in his basement. They say it was power lines found near his body. On Tuesday, the storm slid toward the Midwest, vastly weaker than it was when it made landfall in New Jersey on Monday night. It delivered rain and high winds all the way to the Great Lakes, where freighters were at a standstill in waves 2 stories tall. It left snow in Appalachia, power failures in Maine, and untreated sewage pouring into Patuxent River in Maryland after a treatment plant lost power. President Obama approved disaster declarations in New York and New Jersey, making them eligible for federal assistance for rebuilding. All of us have been shot by the force of Mother Nature, said the president, who plans to visit New Jersey on Wednesday. Today, he promised all available resources for recovery efforts. This is going to take some time, he said. It's not going to be easy for these communities to recover. There was no immediate estimate of the losses from the storm, but the scope of the damage, covering more than half a dozen states, pointed to billions of dollars. Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey called it incalculable. Rescuers look for survivors in the wet rubbles in places like Atlantic City, in state and local officials surveyed wreckage. Utility crews began working their way through a wilderness of fallen trees and power lines, and from Virginia to Connecticut, there were stories of tragedy and survival, of people who lost everything when the water rushed in, of buildings that crumbled after being pounded hour after hour by rain and relentless winds, of hospitals that had to be evacuated when the storm knocked out the electricity. The president spoke with 20 governors and mayors on a conference call, and the White House said president would survey damage from the storm with Mr. Christie on Wednesday. Mr. Obama's press secretary said the president would join Mr. Christie, who has been one of the harshest Republican critics, in talking with storm victims and thanking first responders. Mayor Michael R. Bloomberg said Mr. Obama and also offered to visit the city. But I think the thing for him to do is to go to New Jersey and represent the country. Connecticut, New Jersey, New York reopened many closed roads and bridges. And the New York Stock Exchange made plans to resume floor trading on Wednesday after a two-day shutdown. It's first because of weather since a blizzard in 1888. And the Mayor Bloomberg, is supposed to ring the opening bell. There were no traffic signals. That's me talking because I've seen it on Twitter. There were no traffic signals on the walk from Fifth Avenue to East River. Police officers were directing traffic here and there. Bodegas were open, selling batteries and soft drinks in Times Square. A few tourists walked around, though some hotels still had sandbags by the doors. Mr. Bloomberg said 7,000 trees have been knocked down in city parks. They're away from city parks. He said they are closed until further notice. The mayor also said that trick-or-treating was fine for Halloween, but the parade in Greenwich Village had been postponed. The organizers said it was the first time in the parade's 39-year history that it had been called off. Now, I do know that marathon is going on, and so on. So best wishes to one of my favorite designers, Anthony Mark Hankins, because his twin sister, he had shared earlier this week, a schedule to run the marathon. So I hope she's able to participate and he's able to get there to watch her, as he had stated earlier this week. The mayor also said, your subway network, which suffered the worst damage in its 108-year history, faced one of its longest shutdowns because the problems were so much worse than expected, said Joseph L. LaHalta, the chairman and chief executive of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, the agency that runs the subways and several commuter railroads. Water climbed to the ceiling of the South Ferry subway station, the end of the number one line in Lower Manhattan, and debris covered tracks and stations up and down other lines after the water rushed in and out. Mr. LaHalta said that seven subway tunnels between Manhattan and Brooklyn were flooded. He also said that the Metro North Railroad has no power of 59th Street on two of its three lines, and that a 40 boat had washed up on the tracks in Ossining, New York. The Long Island Railroad's west side yard had been activated, and two railroad tunnels beneath the East River were flooded in the storm. The railroad had not been restored power on Tuesday and had no timetable for restoring service. The Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, officially the Hugh L. Carey Tunnel, and the Queens Midtown Tunnel also remain impassable. He said, Air Force 2 took a beating. More than 15,000 flights were canceled and water poured onto the runways at Kennedy International Airport and LaGuardia Airport, both in Queens. Officials made plans to reopen Kennedy, the larger of the two, and a major departure point for international flights on Wednesday. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo said LaGuardia will remain closed because of the extensive damage. If I'm blessed to attend the No Labels meeting in January, I hope so. It's just normal New York weather, you know, not this weather that's down here. I live in this weather, and we down here, we do not wish that weather on you all. I wish that hurricane had not happened. Really, I do. That is just sad. The historical landmarks that have been knocked down, the loss of life has been lost. Just so sad, and I'm definitely sending prayers and embraces to all of you, each and every one of you on the East Coast and in the Northeast. And pray for you to hurry up and get your power back on, because isn't that terrible? The flooding in the tunnels and Lower Manhattan, and those of you that have rode it out, stay strong. I have an uncle on the coast of Mississippi. He rides out. He used to ride out the hurricane. Wow, like crazy. He's in a nursing home facility now, but you could not get him. He rode after Katrina, and man, it's something. I mean, people rode out Isaac recently that we experienced down here back in August. So, but that Sandy, that compare it to Katrina. That is serious. Back to the article. The flooding in the tunnels in Lower Manhattan was so serious that the Federal Emergency Management Agency asked specialists from the Army Corps of Engineers to help. The watering team, as it is known, two hydrologists and two mechanical engineers from the Corps of Experience in a corp, I mean, I thought I was going to say corps, with experience in draining flooded areas, flew to the airport in White Plains because it was one of the few in the area that was open. Buses began running again on Tuesday afternoon, and the mayor ordered a ride-sharing program for taxis. He said more than 4,000 yellow cabs were on the streets by Tuesday afternoon. From Southern, that subway, you all see that subway system? Flood it out. From Southern New Jersey to the east end of Long Island to the northern suburbs in Connecticut, power companies spent Tuesday trying to figure out just how much damage the storm had done to their wires, transformers, and substations. The work would take at least a week, possibly longer, because the damage was so extensive, and utility companies called in 1,000 crews from all around the country to help out. Consolidate Edison and reach to San Francisco to bring in 150 workers from Pacific Gas and Electric. Even with the additional manpower, Con Edison said it could still take more than 10 days to complete the repairs. Con Edison had more than 285,000 customers in Manhattan who were in the dark on Tuesday and more than 185,000 in Westchester. Still sending love to all my friends. Shout out to Brenda Torres and Tomahawk. Sending much love and prayers to all of you. Angela Crockett and my homies from down here and my Facebook, my online friends and those that I professionally network with. Just sending much love out to all of you. You're in all of our prayers. Things were worse east of New York City, where nearly 1 million customers of the Long Island Power Authority did not have power on Tuesday. And Mr. Cuomo made clear he wanted the authority to restore power faster than they had been in the past. He said it was not okay, but it did take 2 weeks to repair lines brought down by tree limbs. In New Jersey, Public Service Electric and Gas said it had 1.3 million electric customers in the dark, including 500,000 without power because a surge in Newark Bay flooded substations and other equipment. Another New Jersey utility, Jersey Central Power and Light, whose territory covers many shore towns, said almost all of its customers had lost power in some counties, including Ocean and Monmouth. More than one-third of Connecticut Light and Power, 1.2 million customers had no electricity either. The fire in Breezy Point, Queens, leveled scores of houses, among them one that belonged to Representative Bob Turner, who was riding up the storm at home despite the mayor's order to evacuate low-lying areas. Mr. Turner's spokeswoman, Jessica Proud, said he and his wife made it out safely after flames reached their house. Michael Arlong, the chairman of the state conservative party, had a home nearby that also burnt down. She said flooded streets in the area prevented firefighters from reaching the blaze. A fire department spokesman said, and the mayor who toured the area on Tuesday afternoon said the neighborhood was devastated. He described it as looking like pictures we have seen at the end of World War II is not overstating, the mayor said. The off-duty officer who drowned in his basement was identified as Arthur Casper Zach, 28, was assigned to the first precinct in Manhattan. He had led 7 relatives upstairs to the attic as the water rose in his house on Doty Avenue on Staten Island. He said he was going to check the basement and would be right back. About 20 minutes later, one of his relatives called 911, said he was missing. His rescue team with boats and motorized water scooters tried to answer the call but could not reach the house at first because power lines were in the water. His body was found shortly before sunrise. Sending prayers and condolences to the family of off-duty officer Arthur Kasprzak also. That is a hero, but sad also. But he just wanted to double-check what was going on, and apparently a live wire or something of some sort. Something. But we're hearing all and seeing all type of stories and seeing heroes and heroines helping others, and then those that are losing their lives protecting their loved ones, and then even people that they don't know. These are true Americans, huh? Wow, just something. And like yesterday, you know, the cost is like up in the past 20 billion plus of what this is going through. My goodness. So I'm posting this article on Facebook and trying to tweet it out and Google Plus it also. So that is something. That is an article right now coming straight from the New York Times. Wow. So I need to head on back to the switchboard. And prepare to conclude the show. And thank you all for tuning in. I wish you all a happy Halloween and a good day. I guess I'll catch me some scary movies, not so scary movies. I had thought about sharing a couple of scary stories with you all. decided not. You know, I don't want to scare you too much. But we will talk about some scary topics in the near future, most definitely. And that you all want to talk, remember when I first started broadcasting, talked about UFOs and the time I seen a UFO? And some of you that have ghost stories, we can still talk about paranormal activities and ghost stories and strange stuff. During the weekend edition of Construction and Reports, the stories that we were talking about real life stuff, not fiction. And it was spooky, spooky talk. We were talking about zombies and everything. But again, I thank you for tuning in. And let's see, what will I play? I'm going to play something fun. Well, since we're close to election day, I'll play America, and then I'll play another song. But again, I thank you for your support. You are super, super, duper, duper, duper amazing. So blessed to have you as a supporter. I love the constructive criticism and the feedback. You are so much fun. Really, you are, and I do appreciate you. And network with me more on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. We're having an awesome webcast tomorrow night with the MARC community. It's the MARC executives. I guess the MARC executives, business as usual, because there's not council. So we're going to have a holiday MARC webcast on tomorrow night. So shout out to my MARC mentor, Whitney Dennis, and Regional Sales Manager Kelly, who presented an awesome weekly call on Monday during our Monday MARC training. And everyone at the executive offices in New York and those in Cincinnati and all MARC girls and guys also. And Isabella Mansfield, another MARC mentor that I enjoy networking with. And just shout out to all of you all. It's been a blast. You can subscribe to my Facebook page that's connected to my blogtalkradio.com profile. But you can, I have too many, I've passed my friend capacity, but you can subscribe to that page. But you can add me, those of you that want to know more about MARC and talk beauty and fashiontainment, you can add me at facebook.com, BETHMARKGIRLREP, MARC Girl Rep. Okay? Beth MARC Girl Rep on Facebook. And also like the Culture Shock Entertainment Report's fan page also. Here's Andre Simone, and I thank you. And happy Halloween. Happy Matters of the Heart Wednesday. And tomorrow will be terrific Thursday. And Friday we're talking sports. And a shout-out to the Dallas Mavericks for their win against the Lakers, 99-91. You all knew how we're going to end the show without saying something. And did they win against the Celtics? I think they did, but I love the Celtics and the Heat also. Yes, I do. And but what's up to the Heat, you know, LeBron put me on his win list. So was winning. And but still, we're gonna talk about the Mavericks on Friday for real. They opened this season. They have OJ Mayo now, and then Dirk wasn't even part of the game. That's a good deal, huh? For real. And so keep up the good work, Mavericks and Lakers. You know, keep doing your thing, too, because some of my, you know, I love the Lakers, too, but the Mavericks are my number one favorite team, along with the Hornets and so on. And so glad that O.J. Mayo is now part of the Mavericks and so on. So, you know, we're going to talk sports, NFL. Okay. Wow, the Cowboys have a big game coming up next Sunday against the undefeated ATL Falcons. So, of course, we're going to talk NFL and continue profiling head coaches with the NFL on Friday and talking sports. And, of course, another edition, the weekend edition, Clippers Talk Entertainment Reports on Saturday or late. If you like that early morning, Sunday morning show, but it should be back on at the 9 p.m. But I had a blast. I broadcasted at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, and we had a super good time. We were rocking and rolling. But tomorrow, same time, same place, God willing. I love you. Be kind. Have a smile. You don't know. I know some of you, some of us, we all are going through some ups and downs. But you know what? We make each other's days and worlds better when we at least smile, or we at least say, how you doing today? Or we at least reach out and reach your hand out or ask someone, can I give you a hug? Do you need a hug today? You know, those are just kind gestures. You know, sometimes it pays to ask for permission first because a lot of people don't like their personal space invaded. But, you know, say, can I give you a hug? Do you need a hug? You know, just, you know, it's that time of year to, and we should be this way all year round, but, you know, how you feeling? Do you feel fine? How's everybody doing? You know, it doesn't hurt. You know, so just thinking, me, what I'm going to get out of you, or what it's all about me. You know, me wouldn't exist without us. Remember that, okay? And without God, number one, because God's behind all of us. So have a blessed day. I thank you. Network with me. Send me an email at cultureshockentertainment@yahoo.com. Be getting some amazing music and networking with some amazing artists out there. Been networking with some amazing fellow thespians also, and producers and writers and entrepreneurs and business people. Just amazing. Just, you know, let's keep each other motivated in regardless of what we're dealing with. Thank you, and God bless. You've been listening to Matters of the Heart Wednesday, Culture Shock Entertainment Report. And it's 7:35 Central Standard Time. I am in Jacktown, Jackson, Mississippi, the capital of Jackson, Mississippi, the capital of Mississippi, in the Deep South. That's where I'm at. Much love to my listeners again in UK, in Italy, in Africa, in Australia, in the Caribbean, everywhere, Dubai, because you guys are everywhere. So thank you. Love you much.
Bye.
again, thank you. And here's a song called 4 Hours from one of my friends that I network with on SoundCloud.com. And again, thank you, and I appreciate you.